We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
On the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield, live from Doghouse Sports Grill, this is Inside Tech Basketball with Brooke Storr and Eric Conkle. Brought to you by Origin Bank, the official bank of La Tech Athletics. Doghouse Sports Grill, official watch party host of La Tech Athletics. Bud Light, it's for the fans. And by Northern Louisiana Medical Center, the official imaging partner of La Tech Athletics. Now, here's the voice of the Bulldogs, Malcolm Butler.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Inside Tech Basketball here at the Doghouse Sports Grill. We're at 102 North Homer Street in Ruston. I'm Malcolm Butler, joined by Lady Texter head coach Brooke Storr. And for the first half hour, we'll talk Lady Texter basketball. This is our first show of the year, so we will go back and talk about some of the summer workouts, the roster this year, and then obviously we will get into their first eight games of the season and, of course, what's coming up this next week. And then at the bottom of the hour, it'll be Eric Conkle, and we'll talk all things Bulldog basketball. But first things first, Brooke, welcome to the first show of the year.
Thanks, Malcolm. Glad to be here.
I am glad to be here as well. For those who are in attendance here, if you haven't noticed, you can take a look up at the screen, and that's going to be the Doghouse Sports Grill come this next August. They're going to do a lot of renovations here, and if it turns out to look like that, that's going to be pretty sweet, so I'm excited about what it's going
to
be.
Absolutely. We love to bring recruits after games and when they're on official visits, and so it'll be a great atmosphere, and we're looking forward to it. Really excited about it.
No doubt about it. Before we get too deep into the show, I see your daughter Aubrey's here with some of her friends. Who we got here tonight at the coach's show?
Oh, we got the Kramer girls.
All right. Well, welcome here tonight. We're glad to have them. So let's talk a little bit about the 2021-22 Lady Texter basketball team. And let's start, obviously, on the roster. Four players back. You got a boatload of newcomers. I know that you had this summer probably just as much as it was getting ready, conditioning, and all those things. It was getting to know each other.
No doubt. And I think we're in an era of college athletics with the transfer portal and just a number of different things. We had four players graduate, and just a lot of turnover, nine newcomers. And so just getting acclimated, getting used to being on campus, being in Ruston, getting to know one another. And this has been the most enjoyable group we've had in our time here. And it's just been a lot of fun working with them. And they really, we talk a lot about great teams have great teammates. And they've been tremendous in taking care of one another, challenging each other, holding each other accountable. And it's been really fun to get to know them, but to get to work with them every day too.
Yeah, and again, you know, we're not gonna talk a lot about the transfer portal this year, but I think you're right. I mean, whether it's football, basketball, you name it, when you look at rosters of other teams across the country, and I'm going down, and most of the kids, most of the time, last school is not a high school; it's a previous 4-year school.
Yeah, I would be hard pressed to find too many schools in the country that didn't have some sort of transfer within the last year or two.
So talk a little bit about this summer and what specifically y'all did to try to get them on the same page.
Yeah, we get 8 weeks allowed by the NCAA where we have summer access, and they can be in class or out of class. It doesn't matter. But we get 4 hours a week of basketball time with them, a ball on a court, and we can split that up into individual workouts. We can do team workouts. And what that looks like just depends on where we are within that progression. We also get 4 hours of strength and conditioning without a basketball. And so we try to incorporate as much as we can of just figuring out who can do what, but mainly just getting them in shape. And coming off a year of COVID where we just had the shutdown and then a later start to the season, everything was kind of, the rhythm of the season was kind of thrown off, or the rhythm of the year. And so it was kind of nice to be back in that, just have a little bit of normalcy. We weren't testing all the time, not as many masks. We, you know, brought the mask mandate back kind of towards the end of the summer. But it was really good to just be out there working with them and getting to know them and just spending time. We spent a lot of time off the court just with some fun activities. And, you know, I think sometimes people forget these are 18 to 22-year-old young women and young men, and they do have lives outside of that. And so just really trying to spend some genuine time of getting to know them. And I think the better we know them, the better we can coach them. And I think that's really, really important. And for us to know how to love and serve them best, we have to get to know them and who they are and where they've come from and just kind of their background and how that fits into the team dynamic, because we have a lot of different people coming from a lot of different walks of life. And how do we make that fit into one common goal?
So, and I would imagine when you bring, you know, that many newcomers in, it's important that the returners, you have good leaders in that group. You know, you need Kiana and Annalar and Robin and Lota, people who have experienced what it's like to be a lady texter, to kind of help them make the adjustment.
Yeah, no question. I think it's important. I've got a little leadership council, and I've got four players, and they kind of range from freshman, true freshman, to fifth-year grad transfer. And so just having that different age group, you know, I look at Gabby Green, who's injured and sitting out and is an extremely valuable part of our program right now. Just the experience and the leadership she can provide to a freshman is huge. And so being able to have them impart that wisdom and their experiences, and all their experiences are different. But I think the one thing that we always go back to is experience matters, whether it's good experience or bad experience. I think on the court, off the court, experience matters. And so it's really important for them to do that. And I think they're finding their voice and who they are and how they lead. I had two meetings today, and just really neat to see them growing and developing as young women.
Talk a little bit about the Leadership Council. How do you determine who's on it and maybe some of the things that you have them specifically trying to do?
Well, you know, we talk about developing them as young women, you know, on and off the court. And I think it's important that we can say, oh, we need to be good leaders. But what does that actually look like? And we spend time every Monday with our whole team, with Betsy Reef, who does a lot of Enneagram training. And we really have tried to develop some self-awareness and understand who we are as people, as individuals, and how that fits into the team concept. And so we take some things from that. I'm going through a book with them right now, that Leadership Council. So some different things that we do throughout the year. And some of it is feel. It's not like I, you know, have a set program that I'm going through, but some of it's just feel and kind of where we are. But I think they have the best pulse on the team. And the neat thing about this group is they have very different personalities, and so they all bring a different aspect to that group, and I can get a different opinion and perspective from each of them. It's very valuable.
At what point was it, the summer or into the fall, did you start to get a good feel and a good idea exactly what this group might could do on the court?
Well, I don't know if we know exactly what they – I think this group is capable of being really special. I don't think – if you watched us play yesterday, you'd think I'm crazy. But I don't think they have any clue what that looks like yet. And I think this team will continue to evolve as we go. But I think we've got a strong interior presence, and that's not something we've had since Lex Malone was here, you know, what, 4 years ago. And I think anytime you have that depth in the post and the ability to score in and around the paint, you put so much pressure on another team's defense that just getting high percentage shots, getting to the free throw line, being able to control the glass, being able to defend. I think if you've watched women's basketball in our league the last 3 years, Nancy Mulkey made a huge difference for Rice because she's 6'9", and she can rim protect and she can control the paint. It allows your perimeter players to do some things differently defensively, take some chances, and know that you've got somebody back there to block shots. We haven't had a rim protector, and now we've got three. And I think that's something that's been really, really valuable to us. And then, obviously, what we have on the perimeter, just a solid, steady, calming force in Salma Bates at the point, and then Kiana Walker's ability to score on the perimeter. I don't think there's anybody as dynamic an athlete in our league as she is.
So let's talk a little bit about your four returners. And I'm not going to start where you think. I'm going to start with Robin Lee. This is a young lady that was highly recruited out of Mississippi. Struggled the transition to college basketball last year. I think if I remember, I looked down at the stat sheet at the end of the year. She had played point in high school, and I think she had like one assist and 17 turnovers at the end of the year. And I'm not calling Robin out. What I'm getting at is she really struggled last year. When I was able to go, and y'all had the closed scrimmage this year, I don't know if I can say against who at this point or not, but against Little Rock. And it was like a totally different Robin Lee out there. It was unbelievable the transformation that she had made.
Yeah, I think Robin made Robin is a young woman that needs to be comfortable, and she needs to have structure, and she needs to have repetition. And, you know, sometimes when you're in the flow of a season, it's hard for a freshman to get those repetitions and those reps as you're trying to win games. And so for Robin, she just needed to get comfortable. We were playing her at the point. I'm glad you noted that she had one assist, because after the first game, we said, well, she's tripled her assist total from last season. So she's done a great job, and she's a very, very hard worker, very conscientious student, has a really good GPA, and she just needed reps, but she needed confidence. And the work that she put in the summer gave her that confidence. And I think sometimes people look for other things and people to give them confidence. And she put her head down and she went to work. And after the season, you know, in my end of the season meeting with her, I said, hey, these are the three areas I need you to focus on. And she went to work on that, and she didn't back down from it. And I said, look, your role is not going to change with this group next year, because I knew what we had coming in, if you don't make these changes. And she chose to make those changes, and I'm very proud of who she's becoming as a player. And I think just her strength and her ability to play downhill and get in the paint, and has improved her three-point percentage, shooting the ball well, and she's figuring out transition defense. And that was a big thing for her, of just the speed and pace of the game from offense to defense, and how quickly things transition.
Well, and kudos for her for not saying, I'm going to enter the transfer portal because I had a rough first year.
Absolutely. And honestly, I had a lot of difficult talks with that freshman class of going, hey, if you don't change these things, your role will not change. And that's not, like, I'm going to be honest with them. I would want someone to be honest with me. I want someone to be honest with my own children of, this is how we're going to do things. These are the expectations. This is the standard. And she chose to accept that and go, okay. And it was almost like, I'll prove you wrong. And I love that. And so really proud of the transformation she's made. She's gained a lot of confidence, and her teammates have gained confidence in her as well.
Averaging 7 points and 4 rebounds for you. She's already got 11 assists, only 7 turnovers on the year. So, again, definitely looks like a totally different young lady.
We moved her to the two.
Right,
I think
that
helped.
Takes a little pressure off. Yep, no doubt about it.
Simplified things for her a little bit.
Lotusant, she's in her third year. As a true freshman, she shot over 40% from the three-point line. And obviously she can do a lot of different things. Even last year when she struggled, I remember us talking, you saying, you know, you look at the box score at the end of the game, she's got the best plus-minus, even if she doesn't have a lot of stats out there. But last year she totally lost confidence in her ability to shoot the three. I think shot under 20% last year. This year she's already 8 of 16 for 50%, and she seems to be back to the Lotusant that we saw as a freshman.
Yeah, I think she's been more aggressive. And again, she spent a lot of time with Scott in the offseason of just, you know, playing a lot of one-on-one with Parker, one of our managers, scout guys. and just gaining some confidence in that. And I think she's so valuable because she understands exactly where she's supposed to be. She understands where everybody else is supposed to be. And that's why our plus might, like, she doesn't do things that beat you. We just needed her to be more aggressive and do the things that she was capable of in order to help our team be more successful and not just be a spot-up shooter, but be able to rebound. And she's doing those things for us. She allows offense. She facilitates. She allows offense to run. And I think she's gained confidence in that. And obviously it helps when you're shooting. I think she's shooting 50-50, 100. If you look at her field goal percentage, yep. her three-point percentage, and then her free throw percentage. And I think there are only 9 players in NBA history that have been a 50-40-90 player. And so she's putting up some good numbers for us. We got to get her rebounding a little bit better and continuing to do that. But we've taken some pressure off of her, too, and I think Amaya Brandon's helped with that.
Well, when we're going to take a commercial break, when we come back, we'll take a look at the other 2 returns, and we'll take a look at the first 8 games of this season. You're listening to Inside Tech Basketball. We're here at the Doghouse Sports Grill. You're listening to the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield.
Bulldog fans, come out to the Doghouse Sports Grill in Ruston on Monday nights at 6 p.m. to watch Eric Conkle and Brooke Storr talk Bulldog and Lady Texter basketball with host Malcolm Butler. Doghouse is just a few steps from Louisiana Tech campus and has been serving fan favorites for 20 years. Doghouse Sports Grill, the official watch party location for Louisiana Tech athletics. It's where the Bulldogs and Texters eat.
We're about living in the moment.
You know, that moment when you open a Pepsi and hear the music.
We're the doers, the shakers, the tastemakers.
The ones who dance to their own beat.
The ones who stay cool when things heat up.
Whether the party is big or small.
We're the ones who never want it to end.
The ones who can't stop.
And never will.
The beat starts at Pepsi.com. Pepsi. Live for now.
Bulldog fans, help the red and blue go green by recycling on Bulldog and Lady Texter's game days. In partnership with the City of Ruston, Graphics Packaging International, and Pepsi, Louisiana Tech Athletics is working towards a more sustainable game day. Be on the lookout for the City of Ruston blue recycling bins to dispose all paper, plastic, and aluminum products. While you're watching the game, enjoy a refreshing Pepsi, and then dispose of your bottle in conveniently located receptacles throughout the stadium concourse. Ruston residents, for more information and to sign up for curbside recycling, visit RustonRecycles.org today.
We're back at Inside Tech Basketball here at the Doghouse Sports Grill. Malcolm Butler talking with Lady Texter head coach Brooke Storr. And Brooke, real quickly, let's talk about your other 2 returners. They're your 2 returning scorers, leading scorers from last year, and not coincidentally enough, they're leading you in scoring this year. We'll start with Kiana Walker. She was preseason second team All-Conference USA, averaging 16 points, 4 rebounds a game. She's got 22 assists on the year. She had 8 last night, which I know was a career high for her yesterday afternoon. Also tied for the team lead with 19 steals. Obviously, a young lady who can do a lot of different things for you.
Yeah, you forgot probably her most vital stat.
Charges.
She's got 11 on the season. She's leading our charge board. But yeah. Just has an incredible knack of creating offense from her defense. She really sets a tone for us. She's bringing great energy, and she hasn't shot it well the last 2 games, and she'll be the first to tell you that. But she really can change a game by the ball pressure that she can apply to a point guard and just – wreak havoc on the other team. And I think that's tremendous because that gets us really started. What she can do offensively, her ability to get by someone, it's really hard to defend her in a one-on-one closeout setting. And we're trying to make sure that we get her on a sit, the double team that's coming to our big, and we get the ball to her at opposite 45 where she can go attack. And She just has an ability to get by people that not many people do, and I'm really excited about her season and what she's going to be able to accomplish with this group.
Well, she's already shot 60 free throws this year in 8 games.
That's a huge stat, and a lot of people don't pay much attention to that, but the new stat sheets that they went to a couple of years ago when they show, you know, fouls drawn, I think that's huge because most nights she's going to have the other team's best perimeter defender on her, and if we can get them in foul trouble, that changes the complexion of the game completely.
No doubt about it. Then Anna Laura Robertson, obviously a local young lady, played at Cedar Creek High School, averaging 13 points for you and 9.8 rebounds. She's come a week where she had, 20 and 14 at UL Monroe, and then yesterday came back with 18 and 15. Yeah. And you even said, and she's doing it, she's really not even playing near to her potential.
No, I don't know who got Conference Player of the Week this week, but they must have had some really good numbers, because I think when you go 18 and whatever she had, 18 and 12 and what'd she have?
20 and 14 and 18
yeah,
and 15.
There you go.
Yeah.
A lot of rebounds and a lot of points,
yep.
But I think the best part about her is she's really rebounding the basketball. You know, we talk about rebounders, you know, it's easy to get the ones that, you know, come right to you. She's really starting to get out of her circle and go pursue the basketball, and we needed her to do that. She's coming into her own, playing with a lot of confidence. I think she's got the ability. She worked on her face-up game a lot. She is getting comfortable with the ball in her hands. We've had her coming off some screens and putting the ball on the floor a little bit, playing more of a face-up game than her back to the basket. But the one thing that I really like about her, and she and Kiana both are really kind of taking on this persona, but she's not going to be super loud, but when she wants the ball, she will demand it, and she's really getting comfortable in that space. We're at Monroe. I think you were sitting kind of on that side, if I'm correct, right in front of our bench. She's on the block, and at that point, she went 8 straight, and she wanted the ball, and she said, "Give me the ball," in no uncertain terms, you know, out loud, and I was like, "Okay, let's go." And it was really good to see.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I sat right down there. I was able to be a fan. I was able to say stuff to the officials that I want to say on the air, and I can't do it. So
yeah, I'm glad you
didn't
give me a technical.
I enjoyed myself over there that night. But, you know, she's having a great year. And, again, there's nobody that's harder on Anna Laura than Anna Laura. In fact, sometimes she's too hard on herself.
Yeah, we had a nice chat today as we drove around campus and just, you know, said, hey, you don't have to be perfect. We don't expect you to be perfect. Just go be the best person and player that you can be, and that's going to be enough. And so don't put any added pressure or stress. Just take a deep breath and go compete hard, and that'll be good enough.
Well, and she's gotten to the free throw line 40 times already this year. So, and the good thing is both her and Kiana shoot high percentage at the free throw line. So
absolutely. Both of those kids have been, or young women have been, above 80% for their career. So that's a huge plus for us down the stretch in close ball games.
You're 8 games into the season. You're 6-2 on the year. Obviously, we're not going to go through every single one of these box scores. You opened the season with a 50-point win over Jarvis Christian. You came back with almost a 50-point victory over LSU Alexandria. First real test was in Oxford against Ole Miss, and that was a game that really, you take away the second quarter, where, according to the box score, we couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. You played even with them. Got outscored 18-2 in that second quarter, and that was really the difference in the game. But a great opportunity to play a big, physical, athletic SEC team.
Yeah, and you look at that, and you've got Shakira Austin, who's 6'5", and was a third-team All-American last year, and is picked first-team All-SEC. She was first-team All-SEC last year, and they were big and physical, and it was really good for us. I thought we really got – we got in foul trouble, and we had to play some young kids during that second quarter, and I thought we had about 7 straight possessions where we just had empty possessions. We didn't get a good shot. Our shot selection was not – we allowed their pressure to speed us up, and we didn't play with any poise and just fight for a good shot and get a post touch during that time or find a way to get to the free throw line. But I thought it was great. We came out of the halftime, and I thought they executed really well, settled down, created some space, and got some drives to the rim, got to the free throw line. And like you said, you take away that second quarter, and we were even. And honestly, it wasn't even the whole second quarter. We weren't scoring, but we were defending pretty well. It was at the last 3:48 or last 4 right there. They go like 8-0 on us and ends up, you know, extending the lead. And then we came back, and what did we cut it to?
Cut it to 10, 9, somewhere in there in the third quarter.
Yeah, so we got it down and just couldn't get over the hump.
You come back home, you beat Nicholls State by 30, you take care of business there, four players in double figures. Then you go out to Colorado, you knew that was going to be a good test for you out there. You have Boise State, who, of course, a lot of Louisiana Tech fans familiar with from our days in the Western Athletic Conference, and then Colorado. That Boise State game, quite the basketball game. I listened to that as we were driving to Houston for the football game on that Friday, and came down to the very end, down, 4 points with about 30 seconds to play. And, you know, when you're down like that, you need some things to go your way. You've got to execute, but you need some things. They missed some free throws. You came down, you scored, and all of a sudden you got an opportunity inbounding the basketball with, 2 seconds to play, something like
1.6.
1.6 in a tie ball game right in front of the bench. Just talk a little bit about what you drew up, and obviously Salma hit the big three.
Yeah, it was huge. We had a lead. I mean, it was back and forth the whole game. They were big. We knew that they could shoot the ball well. They had played a tough schedule, and the other thing that we tried not to play too much into the fact, but the altitude's real, and we looked like we were running in quicksand during that game, and we struggled a little bit. We weren't very solid defensively, but they just hung in there. You're down four with 30 seconds to go. We did not. Scott will always say that I'm going to go to my grave with two timeouts, but I always want them for this situation. And we didn't call timeout. We fouled. They missed a free throw, and we secured the board. And we had told them, you can practice all these. We practice special situations all the time. We'll go, hey, you know, we're down six with a minute to go. Their ball, and we play it out. And you know, you do all kinds of different things. You never know how they're going to respond, because in practice it's practice.
Sure.
And if you don't win, you don't win. We're going to come back and do it again. But when it's real and it's in the game and the lights are on, there are people in the stands, you never know how they're going to respond. This is the first time we've been in that situation. And so Amaya Brandon gets a huge defensive board. We don't call a timeout. And sometimes, a lot of times, the teams, especially when you get under a minute where we have the ability to advance the ball and have a sideline inbound, they expect you to call the timeout.
So they're not getting back.
Exactly. And so I had two, and I didn't want to call it. And so let's go push. And we got a good shot. We got right. What do I need to call a timeout? It's a free throw. If I can't communicate to them what I want at a dead ball free throw, then I need to reevaluate what I'm doing. So they push. We get a score. My brand calmly makes a shot. They call timeout, advance. So we have our time to discuss what we're going to do. So we still have actually had one timeout. So we still have our timeout in our pocket. They call timeout. We tell them what's going to come. We had actually, Boyan had the scout, and he had the inbound sideline get it in where we had to foul. If, you know, we always put them in those situations. We did that the day before we left. And so they knew what was coming. We were able to switch. They inbounded it. We fouled immediately. Kid goes to the free throw line, misses. And so it's a 2-point game. We come down, call timeout, or actually we go down, Maya hits
Maya
the
scores,
shot.
Yep.
And then we foul again. And actually they call timeout, advance, and we get a stop. We get a rebound.
It's tied at this
yes.
point. Yep.
We get a rebound with 1.6. We call timeout, advance. And it was a huge rebound. And Amaya had not had a very good game. And I look up at the end of the game, she's got 8 boards. And as a freshman, and she had 2 of the biggest ones in that 30 seconds. So she gets a rebound. We advance, call a play we call Butler. It's really funny because Mr. Billy at the TAC says, hey, can you name a play after me? And I said, well, we got a next game winner. We'll change the name for you. And so we call Butler, get a little back screen. They switch. We actually had the big on the little
right.
on Anilar to the lob at the rim. And we covered it the night before. If you don't guard the inbounder, which you always guard, you never leave the inbounder. They left the inbounder. Lota makes a heads-up play, sees it, throws it right back to Sal, and Sal drains it. And, you know, at that point we're tied. She got fouled. They blew the whistle. So we actually blew, and he had a closed fist. So we'll see it. I'm glad we didn't get to that
yep.
point. But it was a great moment. We had about 40, 45 family members there. It was awesome. We had big Thanksgiving dinner with them on Thursday night at the hotel. They were able to celebrate that moment with their young women. And just a lot of fun.
So I'm going to be a little hurt here. Are you changing Butler to Billy since it was the game winner?
We did.
Oh, wow. You wait till I see Billy tomorrow.
Yep.
It's going to be a fight over the name of
That's
the play
right.
now. All right, well, that was a big win. You come back the next day, and we got about 60 seconds remaining, played a really good Colorado team. And, again, really you had a bad second quarter offensively, yeah. And that's the difference in the ballgame.
If Coach can figure out that second yeah. quarter, we might be undefeated.
Yep.
But I go back and I look. Those two games will be great for us because we learned a lot about our team. We learned about, you know, who can compete. And you're playing a tough Colorado team on a back-to-back days in altitude, and we'd played a lot of minutes, and yep. you have an emotional experience like that. How do you regroup? How do you come back the next day and compete? I was really proud of how they did that. Excited about where this group can go and what it looks like moving forward. But those two teams that we've lost to, Ole Miss on the road and at Colorado on a back-to-back days, those two teams are picked in bracketology for NCAA tournament, and I have no doubt those are tournament teams, and I know those two games are going to help us down the road.
Well, excited about it. You've come back. You beat Monroe by 16 at their place yesterday. I tried to run out of time so we don't have to talk about 24 turnovers yesterday. You still find a way to win against Mississippi Valley, 69-56. You're 6-2, and you're coming back home Friday night to take on Sam Houston State here at the Thomas Assembly Center at 6:30.
Yeah, you know, the one cool thing for us this year has been so exciting to have fans back in the stands, to have the spirit groups, to have the band, and it's just nothing like a college basketball experience. And this is a great group, and I know we didn't play well yesterday, and the coach and me is not excited about that, but this is a fun group. They're an easy group to cheer for. They play hard. The 17 turnovers in the first half about did me in, but I think as you continue to see this group grow, they're going to be so fun. And don't miss out. Like, everybody get out and support them and be excited for this group. They're great young women. We had five players that had a perfect 4.0 yep. in the fall quarter, which is not easy to do. And I'm really proud of who they are and what they're doing and how they represent our program and our university.
No doubt about it. Well, we're excited. Friday night, 6:30, Lady Texters host Sam Houston State. Brooke, thanks. We'll see you Friday night.
Malcolm, it's great to talk to you.
It
buddy.
Is.
I miss
know.
You.
Well, I'm trying to watch and be there as often as I can. I miss you, too. When we come back, we'll be joined by Louisiana Tech head coach Eric Hawk. We'll talk Bulldog basketball. You're listening to the Inside Tech Basketball, the Live Tech Sports Network from Learfield.
We're about living in the moment.
You know, that moment when you open a Pepsi and hear the music.
We're the doers, the shakers, the tastemakers.
The ones who dance to their own beat.
The ones who stay cool when things heat up.
Whether the party is big or small.
We're the ones who never want it to end.
The ones who can't stop.
And never will.
The beat starts at Pepsi.com. Pepsi. Live for now.
Bulldog fans, come out to the Doghouse Sports Grill in Ruston on Monday nights at 6 p.m. to watch Eric Conkle and Brooke Storr talk Bulldog and Lady Texter basketball with host Malcolm Butler. Doghouse is just a few steps from Louisiana Tech campus and has been serving fan favorites for 20 years. Doghouse Sports Grill, the official watch party location for Louisiana Tech athletics. It's where the Bulldogs and Texters eat.
Life's just more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. It's more fun tailgating or camping with the family with an EasyGo multi-passenger cart. It's more fun hunting and doing farm chores with an EasyGo utility cart. And Fairway Carts always has a great selection of EasyGo gas or electric carts with the performance you need and the value to please any budget. Have more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 318-371-CART and go Bulldogs!
Welcome back to Inside Tech Basketball. I'm Malcolm Butler, joined by Louisiana Tech head coach Eric Conkle. And before we get started with Coach, I want to take an opportunity to thank Bert Davis and the staff here at the Doghouse Sports Grill. They've been big supporters of Louisiana Tech athletics for a long time, serving up some of the best burgers in our area. So thanks to Bert and Danielle and everybody here at the Doghouse Sports Grill. Eric, welcome to the first show of the year.
It's great to be back. Great to see all these people in here too. Thank you for coming. Yes.
Yep. Nope. I agree. We're gonna do exactly what we did with Brooke. We're gonna step back and talk a little bit about this summer. Obviously, had a great run at the end of last year, right? A disappointing loss in the conference tournament when Kobe Williams wasn't 100%. Kind of a heartbreaking loss, but you got a second opportunity in an NIT and obviously made the most of it. Made that memorable run in the NIT to the Final Four. What a great win over Colorado State in the consolation game. And you had to be very pleased with the way that team ended the season.
No question. I mean, obviously, you want to win the conference tournament championship. That, of course, is our goal. Once we did not do that, we were very, very fortunate and happy about the opportunity to play. And I think about us assembling and getting together in the Wagner Room and having the NIT selection show, and I did have some indication we were going to get some good news, otherwise wouldn't have brought everybody together. But it was a surprise to our team, and then knowing it was Ole Miss, they were just reinvigorated and excited about playing. And then, of course, over those next couple weeks, winning three games in the NIT and beating Colorado State and ending the season on a win, there's a good feeling in that.
No doubt about it. You go into the summer, and let's talk a little bit about what you guys did during the summer as far as obviously you had some guys graduate. You had a couple of guys that could have graduated that decided to come back, and Amari Archibald and Zay Christian. You had a number of newcomers come in. What do you guys do in the summertime?
Well, first we finished up our roster once we realized which guys were coming back, which guys were going to go professional that may have been able to come back, like Jacoby Pemberton and Caleb Ledoux, and both those guys have moved on into a professional career. And then once we were able to outline our summer, we got back to work. First, we had a spring this year where we were able to get back in the weight room and start working on skills out on the court. And then that went throughout the summer with our seven new guys, six scholarship players and one walk-on. So we had a really good summer getting together, getting that time where we could work on chemistry and get to know one another, and then also work in the weight room, work skills, get some pickup basketball, and just start on that journey.
And then obviously during the summer you were without your big guy for a while, as obviously Junior Lofton had an unbelievable opportunity to compete for Team USA and go overseas. And when he came back from that, what did you see, any type of difference in Junior after being able to compete at that level on the international scale?
Well, the one thing that was the same 100% was just his enthusiasm for everything, basketball, Louisiana Tech. He hasn't changed one bit in that, but I think there's without a doubt that experience of going abroad, got a passport for the first time, made that type of trip, played that type of basketball on that stage. There was certainly a confidence that came from it, and also a realization that if he can just continue working, very, very bright things are ahead for him.
You know, and you mentioned, and we've talked about it. I mean, anybody who has not been around Junior off the court, he's like a big kid. I say that as a compliment. He just loves the game of basketball. He seems to love life. He always seems to be in a good mood.
Yeah, no, he loves basketball. He loves his teammates. He loves the people in this community. I mean, he's 19 years old. He still hasn't shaved yet. And no matter who he's around, he's just energetic. Yep. And he loves to talk ball and talk about anything. He's a great guy to be around.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, some of the newcomers you brought in. And, again, I promise I'm not going to harp on the transfer portal with you on this show this year. But you were able to use the transfer portal to your benefit, and you brought in a couple of guys that have really obviously stepped in and helped you.
So last year when we went into the year, it was shortly before the season, it was determined that each player would get additional eligibility. And we had heard that was coming, so we decided we were just going to sign three high school players, and we were going to do that in the fall. I'm very excited about all three of them, Caleb Stewart, Will Allen, and Taren Williams. Of course, Will Allen had surgery. He's out for the season, but we've seen both Caleb Stewart and Taren Williams contribute for us. And then we held on to the rest of the season just to see how things would shake up. We had a large senior class. And then when we had a few scholarships in the spring, we wanted to fill it through the transfer portal. But we wanted to do it with younger guys that we felt would be invested in Louisiana Tech, invested in Ruston, and we could continue building with. And all three of them were guys we recruited while they were in high school. Keyston Willis came from Incarnate Word. He's from Sulphur Springs High School in Texas, and we were familiar with him. Great scorer. We knew he could really shoot the basketball, and that was something that we were looking to do, especially with Caleb Ledoux leaving. Then we looked for two other players, David Green. We had recruited out of high school. He's from Orlando, Florida. Spent 1 year at Hofstra. We felt like with losing Jacoby Pemberton, we thought that that could be a good fit. Both were lefties. You know how much we've loved lefties over the years, and thought that would be great. And then with LaDamian Bradford, we've known him for a long, long time. I mean, since he was a freshman in high school, been coming to camp. He goes to Texas A&M for a year, and then we're able to bring him back home. He's from Jonesboro, went to Jonesboro Hodge, and we had the scholarship and just felt like he'd be a great fit. So, and then we added Ben Ponder as a walk-on from Shreveport. Both his parents went here to Tech. His mom played softball here. Great, great legacy. Member of our team, and he's been terrific as well.
I know Ben's dad very well. We were fraternity brothers. He was pretty good on the dunk ball court back in the day, too. I don't know if that's where Ben gets his talent. Something interesting you mentioned right there is a lot of times you'll see in the transfer portal, people are picking up guys who are grad transfers, right? They've got 1 year left. You just made the comments you wanted guys who basically were going to be invested. They weren't just going to be here for a year. And so all three of those guys you just mentioned have at least 3 years remaining of eligibility for Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, you know, and it's I wouldn't say never for a guy that has 1 year, but I just felt like with the guys we had coming back, and I think so much of college basketball, college sports in general, is you groom young men to become leaders and leaders of their team. And we've been fortunate to have a number of guys spend and invest a number of years in the program here. Amari Archibald and Xavier Christian are in their fifth straight year here in Ruston. Jacoby Pemberton spent 5 years here. Derek Jeans spent 5 years here. Then you add on guys like Isaiah Crawford and Kobe Williams are in their third year. Stacey Thomas is in their fourth. So we spend a lot of time, our staff, thinking about chemistry, thinking about investment, thinking about the makeup of our team, and we felt like those three transfers coming in, even though they're younger, and on paper we've got a lot of freshmen, we just felt like the growth potential was high and their ability to mix in with the other guys was really strong.
So you spend the summer kind of getting ready. You go into the fall. You're in September. You're working through it. You think you have this roster, and all of a sudden, boom, 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 the injury bug hits, right? First it's Will Allen's shoulder, then it's Stacey Thomas' shoulder, and then obviously Isaiah Crawford with the knee. And so just let's talk about how, and of course all three of those guys – kind of play the same position, right? I mean, Isaiah Crawford could play the five if he had to, but all of a sudden you feel like you got depth inside, and now all of a sudden you lose those three guys and you don't have so much depth, and you've kind of had to change your thought process on what you're going to do on a game-by-game basis.
Well, no doubt. Like we went from thinking like, do we need to redshirt somebody to do we need to find a football player,
right?
You know, or someone from the student body. And it's been a challenge. We've had to, everything that we've not everything, but so many things that we did through the summer and fall and even the first couple games of the year, we've had to scrap and retool with the personnel we had. We had a chance to play with some good size, even slide Isaiah Crawford to the three spot. Then it went when Stacy went down and Will went down. We were moving him to the five, and I was researching on ways to play small ball five lineup. And then when Isaiah go down, then now we're looking at, we're very small and trying to figure that out. So that's all part of it. We've got to have a next man up mentality and get contributions just a little bit extra from each guy. And that's still ongoing. We're still trying to figure that out.
Give us just a little tidbit about those three guys. And so like Will Allen and his prognosis for this year.
So Will's out for the season. He's already had surgery on his shoulder. Actually just got out of his sling today so he can advance his rehabilitation process and move forward, but he's out for the year. Stacy is that we're hoping that he's in a situation where he may be able to rehab and get to a point where he can contribute this year and then address it further after the season. And Isaiah Crawford, he's going to be reevaluated here this week. The swelling was pretty intense initially. It's been now 3 weeks, and that's come down. He's going to be seen by the doctor tomorrow. We'll have a greater picture of if he's lost for the year or if there's a chance that he can continue to play or not.
And with those three guys out, you know, you've got obviously Junior inside, and you're probably tired of me mentioning Kenny Hunter's name, but it seems like Kenny Hunter, every time you call him in and he gets minutes, he gives you productive minutes. I've been really pleased with that young man so far.
Kenny has really benefited from this opportunity. And because last year, you look at it, he was behind a bunch of upperclassmen. He really had to spend a lot of time in the weight room and get stronger. He's added weight and just learned the college game. And you think about him going against Junior every single day, he's gotten better. He's shooting over 70% from the field. He's got beautiful touch. He's got really good hands. He's just continuing to learn. And what you can't teach is he's 6'9 or 10, and he's got a 7'4 wingspan and getting better. And he's still technically just a freshman. So we're excited about Kenny.
No doubt about it. Well, we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we'll take a look at the Bulldogs' first eight games of the season. You're listening to Inside Tech Basketball on the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield.
Bulldog fans, help the red and blue go green by recycling on Bulldog and Lady Texters game days. In partnership with the City of Ruston, Graphics Packaging International, and Pepsi, Louisiana Tech Athletics is working towards a more sustainable game day. Be on the lookout for the City of Ruston blue recycling bins to dispose all paper, plastic, and aluminum products. While you're watching the game, enjoy a refreshing Pepsi, and then dispose of your bottle in conveniently located receptacles throughout the stadium concourse. Ruston residents, for more information and to sign up for curbside recycling, visit RustonRecycles.org today.
Bulldog fans, come out to the Doghouse Sports Grill in Ruston on Monday nights at 6 p.m. to watch Eric Conkle and Brooke Storr talk Bulldog and Lady Texter basketball with host Malcolm Butler. Doghouse is just a few steps from Louisiana Tech campus and has been serving fan favorites for 20 years. Doghouse Sports Grill, the official watch party location for Louisiana Tech athletics. It's where the Bulldogs and Texters eat.
We're about living in the moment.
You know, that moment when you open a Pepsi and hear the music.
We're the doers, the shakers, the tastemakers.
The ones who dance to their own beat.
The ones who stay cool when things heat up.
Whether the party is big or small.
We're the ones who never want it to end.
The ones who can't stop.
And never will.
The beat starts at Pepsi.com. Pepsi. Live for now.
Well, back in Inside Tech Basketball here at the Doghouse Sports Grill. I'm joined by Louisiana Tech head coach Eric Conkle. And in the break here, we were looking at a score. You know, people always talk about you know, you can't play a game on paper. And last Wednesday, you played a Texas Southern team that was 0-6. But when you looked at who they played and their scores, you know, like, they're a pretty good team. We beat them by 30. It was really never even close. Your team played extremely well, and I had a bunch of people afterwards, well, you know, they're not that good. Well, that Texas Southern team is beating 20th-ranked Florida and Mike White right now by 18 points with 6 minutes to play in that ball game. So I think they're proving that that was a pretty good Texas Southern team you played last Wednesday.
Well, we thought they were good, and we played well, but they are very good. I was very concerned about that game, and, you know, the way they play in their schedule, they play every game on the road in the non-conference, and they've taken people down to the wire, and they're very physical, and they're obviously being very physical tonight.
Wow, that's, again, is why you can't play the games on paper. So let's talk a little bit about this year for you, and we're going to start this past Saturday because that was such a great ball game out in Santa Clara. Your team goes out to California, and again, you know, it's a game that we discussed on the pregame show, but just talk a little bit about how that game became on the schedule and why.
So every year we try to have great balance in our schedule, home games, away games, and then we tried to find a number of top 100 games this year. And we really earmarked that weekend to try to find one and go on the road. And so that was the game that we could find that just worked out. And even though it was going to California and there was a time that we were trying to find another game on that swing and just couldn't find it, but we knew Santa Clara was going to be very good. It's a top 100 game. And even though it was a long trip, we felt like, hey, this gives us a chance to go on a long trip, just like going to UTEP or going to Miami or going on a conference game and feel like it was a high-level Conference USA game, which it was. It was that type of game. It was a terrific basketball game that went right down to the wire, and we found just enough plays to come away with it.
Well, and impressive as a win was, I mean, and again, you go back to Friday, you're supposed to get out there at about noon Pacific time, but flying out of Monroe, there was fog. We were delayed on the plane by about an hour and 15 minutes. We get to Houston, we've missed the connection. It's hard to get 26 guys on the next plane. And so, long story short, we're delayed by about 7.5 hours. You get out to San Francisco. You get to the hotel in San Jose at about 8 o'clock that night, Pacific time. You're not able to go to the gym and shoot. You're not able to do any of that. So the first time those guys walked into the gym was about an hour and a half before you were going to play. So you had to do a lot of mental preparation.
We did. And I told the team, I mean, the mental is always more important than the physical, although we would like to have our regular routine. We practice the day before games. We shoot. We like to get into the gym on the road and just get a little bit of a familiarity with it. And, you know, we did a stretching routine and a little warm-up once we got to the hotel because it was such a long day. Ate, watched video. The next morning on Saturday, we taped basketball court lines in a ballroom and had a ball taped up and a makeshift ball so we could go through plays and get a feel for the other team. And then afterwards, I was very proactive with the team because we won the basketball game, and I just said, guys, listen, if any of you try to say we don't need to practice before the games, that's not happening unless we're in this situation again. But the guys were very attentive and very excited about playing, and, you know, they just really were locked in on what we were trying to do, and they executed.
Well, and we're going to spend the majority of the time on this ball game. Junior is literally a game time decision as we go to the stadium on Saturday. Obviously, he's had some issues with his side. I think it's a bone bruise, is the way you described it, and it's been in a lot of pain. Don't know till probably a half hour before the game that he's going to actually give it a go. I think it was probably a good thing for the Bulldogs he decided to play.
Yeah, it was a good decision. It was a good decision, game time. And for him, we're always going to err on the side of health and safety and doing what's best for guys long term. But I want to give a lot of credit to TJ Thurman, our trainer. Him and Junior worked relentlessly, consistently together on doing whatever we could to help him be comfortable. Of course, once x-rays and images showed that there was no fracture and it was a bruise, then it was going into different types of pain management. And everybody knows, watching Junior play, there's going to be a lot of contact down there. So it's a little different than some other guys. But he was ready to go. We learned during warm-ups that he was feeling good and through his movements, and he was more than ready.
31 points, 14 rebounds. He was named the Conference USA and the State Player of the Week this week for what he did on the court. And, again, 13 of 25 from the field in that ball game. He was 5 of 5 from the free throw line, which that might be the best stat of the night. 14 rebounds, 6 of them on the offensive end. And down the stretch in that game, I mean, what a final 5 minutes. You get up 10 points with about 7 or 8 minutes to play. You knew Santa Clara was going to make a run. They do. They come back. I think they tie it at 66. You come down. You get it inside. Junior scores. They come down tied at 68. You come down. You get it inside. Junior scores. I think he scored 8 or 10 points in a row, and it kept going back and forth like that. They knew he was going to get the ball. They were going to double team him, sometimes triple team him, and they still couldn't stop him.
It was such a game going back and forth, and we knew that there was a run coming. They are a prolific scoring team. They've got some real talent. The Williams kid, I think, is going to play potentially in the NBA. Just the talent that he has. The Justice kid can really, really shoot it, and they had other pieces too. But we just found that the way that they were guarding Junior, and they're either going to stop him and he's going to find somebody else for an open shot, or we're just going to keep going to him. And that's what we did. And we kept getting him the ball around the elbow area. He hit Amari for a nice bucket at 3 minutes to go. And then we kept working that elbow and had a couple different counters off of it to get him to the rim. And he was able to get to the basket and knock it down. So we just kind of kept going with that. And then Kobe making two big free throws, Amari making two big free throws to seal the game was huge.
I know Dave used to always ask you why we didn't shoot free throws better. So 13 of 13 at the free throw line. I think the Bulldogs rank third in Conference USA right now in free throw percentage. So I think it's the switch in the radio guys might be the reason that you're shooting free throws better.
Well, I know he jinxed it a lot more than you do. That's for sure.
No doubt about it. We talked about Junior, but, I mean, you had so many guys step up in that game and hit big shots. You mentioned the free throws down the stretch. I mean, Zay hit 3 3-pointers in that game, which was big. I thought Caleb Stewart played extremely well, hit some big buckets for you. LaDamian Bradford hit some big buckets. And it was just one of those where his stats stand out, but you don't win that game without everybody clicking for you.
Well, we had 10 guys play, and 10 guys play meaningful, important minutes. 8 of them scored, and you have the you see Junior's 31 points out of the 78, and you think, oh, man, he just carried us. Well, it wasn't really exactly that. Yes, he played really well, but the passing that the guys did, the spacing off the backside to take the help away with the way that they were guarding the post, they trapped from the baseline side. But it was a total team effort, and then – like Kobe Williams is guarding of Pipes, who's a really good player. I felt that really set the tone for us. And then Caleb Stewart was a plus 14. And for fans, that means that we won the game by 14 points when he was in the game. So guys really contributed, and just really proud of the entire team for just their resolve during that entire trip.
Well, in that second half when, you know, game was on the line and it was going back and forth, probably middle of the second half, you took Kobe Williams out for quite a spell. And you, at least to me, you didn't feel like you had to put him back in because the guys that were out there were playing so well. And when you have the luxury to take one of the most dynamic players in Conference USA off the floor like that for a long time in a game like that, I think that tells you some of the depth you've got.
Yeah, and that's what we're trying to develop, Malcolm. We're trying to, with the guys that have been out and how we're trying to restructure our team, and then you have now more new guys than you have returners, we're just trying to figure out our depth and figure out where guys can play best. And that's it's a hard thing because you're trying to balance the development of your team with also trying to win the game. And we're finding some combinations that are starting to work a little bit. That's obviously going to be something we can continue to explore, but just really proud of our guys for how they're figuring it out. In Kobe's case, I'm always going to kind of run with the guys that are hot, and then you can do that for probably 3 or 4 minutes. And I thought Caleb gave Kobe some really valuable rest, and I do believe in rest like that can help you make the 2 big free throws down the stretch like Kobe did.
Well, no doubt he did it, and Amari did it with 3 seconds to play. Bulldogs get a big 78-75 victory in a really exciting game. When we come back, we'll take a look at UL Lafayette, the Bulldogs' opponent for this Saturday. We'll be right back with more of Inside Tech Basketball. You're listening to the La Tech Sports Network from Learfield.
Life's just more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. It's more fun tailgating or camping with the family with an EasyGo multi-passenger cart. It's more fun hunting and doing farm chores with an EasyGo utility cart. And Fairway Carts always has a great selection of EasyGo gas or electric carts with the performance you need and the value to please any budget. Have more fun on a new EasyGo from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 318-371-CART and go Bulldogs!
We're about living in the moment.
You know, that moment when you open a Pepsi and hear the music.
We're the doers, the shakers, the tastemakers.
The ones who dance to their own beat.
The ones who stay cool when things heat up.
Whether the party is big or small.
We're the ones who never want it to end.
The ones who can't stop.
And never will.
The beat starts at Pepsi.com. Pepsi. Live for now.
Bulldog fans, come out to the Doghouse Sports Grill in Ruston on Monday nights at 6 p.m. to watch Eric Conkle and Brooke Store talk Bulldog and Lady Texter basketball with host Malcolm Butler. Doghouse is just a few steps from Louisiana Tech campus and has been serving fan favorites for 20 years. Doghouse Sports Grill, the official watch party location for Louisiana Tech athletics. It's where the Bulldogs and Texters eat.
We'll be right back.
Well, back to the Doghouse Sports Grill. This is Inside Tech Basketball. And, Eric, we just got a couple of minutes real quick. Let's talk a little bit. This Saturday, the Bulldogs will host UL Lafayette. That game will start at 11 a.m., so at an early tip at the Thomas Assembly Center, just for those of you wondering, that is set by TV. ESPNU will be here to televise it. But just talk a little bit about what the Raging Cajuns have this year.
Yeah, they've got a lot of size. First, I want to say, you know, it's going to be on ESPNU, but please do not stay at home and watch it. Come on to the TAC. Let's fill the place. And not only for the game, but for all our recruits that will be watching it. So let's show them what it looks like at the TAC and make it really live in there. Lafayette's got a really good team. They've got a lot of size, and they've played a good schedule so far. They have played at Marshall in our league. They're playing at McNeese on Wednesday, so they've got a game before us that we can continue to watch and see how they're coming. I know they've had an injury to one of their big guys. I'm curious to see if they'll play Wednesday. But they've got, I mean, a lot of size. They've played 2 6'10 guys in a lineup together and started them. They've got a transfer from St. John's. They're good. They're good. And they're going to be – it's one of those games. 166th or 7th time we've played over the years. So it's always been a great series. Got a lot of respect for Coach Marlin and his crew there. So looking forward to a great game, great opportunity for us. They're picked towards the top of the Sun Belt Conference this year. So 11 o'clock, everybody, at the TAC on Saturday. We need you.
Yep, no doubt. We need everybody Friday night, 6:30. The Lady Texans will take on Sam Houston State, and then you can bring your sleeping bag or you can go home and come back. But we need you back there 11 a.m. on Saturday against UL Lafayette. Best of luck on Saturday.
Thank you, Malcolm.
That's Louisiana Tech head coach Eric Conkle. That'll about do it for Inside Tech Basketball. We appreciate everybody who came out tonight. Appreciate everybody who's been listening. Again, a couple of big home games this week for the Lady Texters and the Bulldogs. That'll about do it. You've been listening to Inside Tech Basketball on the Live Tech Sports Network from Learfield. Good night, everybody.
Live from Doghouse Sports Grill, this has been Inside Tech Basketball with Brooke Storr and Eric Conkle. Brought to you by Origin Bank, the official bank of La Tech Athletics. Doghouse Sports Grill, official watch party host of La Tech Athletics. Bud Light, it's for the fans. And by Northern Louisiana Medical Center, the official imaging partner of La Tech Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the La Tech Sports Network.